You know, I really appreciate people. People do something to me. They're God's chief creation. And I love people. People are great to me. And I see people that are successful. I see people in all walks of life, men and women alike. And I see them that are successful. And I think it's so wonderful. It doesn't matter whether they're successful in one thing or another, whether it's in church world, the church world, or in business or whatever. As long as it is in accord with God's will and God's way, it's still wonderful. Because they're so beautiful in their ways of life and in the things that God has blessed them with. As long as, like the song says, they take time for Jesus. And as long as Jesus is the preeminence of their heart and Jesus is the very ultimate of their desire. As long as Jesus is the drive. As long as all of their labor, their desire, their ambition is for Jesus, they're so beautiful in what they're doing. But when they're not for Jesus and they get lifted up or they get careless or get concerned, overly concerned about themselves or the things of this world, and then they begin to cut Jesus off here and manipulate over here to me. They lose all of their radiance, lose all of their beauty, and I don't see, to me, whatever they're doing, to me it's not a success, it's foolishness. And it has no glow, it has no appeal to me, nor to God. But it's so wonderful when people do something for God. I love to see people do something for Jesus. Now, there's a lot of things that's taking place. I brought out a few of them this morning, some revelation. And I spoke concerning revelation and what it had to do with. And the hour that we're living in, the conquering of death. You know, people can't really believe that there is going to be an age where death will be conquered. That's too great for man. He can't get a hold of that. He's been a religious sort of an individual all of his life, all down through the different generations. He's heard preaching all kind of things. Fasting, praying, healing, all kind of things. But to be able to get a hold of the fact that death is going to be conquered in an age and men are not going to die, that's more than he can get a hold of. He can't fathom that. He will say to you that he believes that he knows that, but really down in his heart, to get a hold of that and to lay hold on that, he can't get a hold of that. That's too much for him. But whether you can grasp it or not, it's an absolute fact. It is true that death is to be conquered, and in that it is to be conquered, then that means that if death is to be conquered, there's going to be some people that's not going to go by the way of the grave. They're not going to be buried, no matter how you look at it. They're not going to be put in a casket. They're not going to drive them out to the graveyard. They're not going to put them down under a slab. There's going to be some people like that. He said, Brother Pike, I can't get a hold of that, but it's true. It's true. We really need to follow God. We really need to follow the Lord. The other night, we got into some things concerning the tabernacle of God among men. I was reading in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, and we commented on it a little bit. the tabernacle of God among men. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn back over there and read just a little bit. Maybe I'll discuss it a little bit with you. Don't forget now, camp meeting begins Friday. And if you've got any loved ones that you'd like to reach, invite them to come out and fellowship with us. And let's do something for the Lord. The 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderer, and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like unto a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city was garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysoline, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth a chrysoprase, 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nation of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And they shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophet, and of them which keep the saying of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the saying of this prophecy, of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. You know, when you think about God, that's a big subject, isn't it? A lot of times we who are so small, just little bitty human beings, we think about God and what we do, we bring everything down to our own level. That's the only way that we can cope with it. Well, that's the only way that we can have a part in it, is to bring it down, as we say, to our own level or our own size. And therefore, a lot of times, it causes us to fail to realize the greatness of God. But when you think about God, God who made heaven, God who made the earth, God who made the sun, and God who made the stars, and God who made the galaxies, and God who made the great mighty ocean, And God who made the depths of the sea. And God who made the millions of different species that's in the earth. And the great whales, all of the weird creatures that's in the ocean. Millions of them. And God who made the millions of birds, the alligators and the crocodiles, and every little beetle. God who made everything, the trees and the brooks and millions of people. God, when you think about God who made the billions and billions of atoms, God, you think about God, the ever expanding, unlimited, immeasurable, incomprehensible God, the great God that no man can comprehend, God, the omnipotent God, God, when you think about God, and then all of a sudden, you say, God loves me. God cares for me. Here I am, just a speck in the universe. I'm no more than just some little tiny speck in the universe. But God loves me and God considers me. And like David of old said, what is man, God, that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory. And thou hast set him over the work of thine own hands. Oh, what is a man that you would create a universe? What is a man? He's a speck in the universe. But God, what is a man that you would take a man after such a great act of creation and take this man and say, now I've made the trees and I've made the brook and I've made the birds and I've made everything, but I want you to be ruler over it. I want to give it all to you. Oh, what is man that you should do that to him, David said. But then that makes man so great when he's nothing. You know, with God, man is so great and he's so mighty. He is great and mighty. He is powerful. He is without end. Man is without beginning in God. He is without end in God. But brother, sister, man without God is no more than a speck. He is nothing. He is nothing. With all of his ambitions, with all of his education, with all of his money, all of the zeal and talents, he is nothing. But oh, with God, he is so great and mighty. And we say, God, thou art my friend, God. Though you're so great, you've taken notice of me. I can talk with you like Abraham did. And you talk with me. And oh, we have the sweetest fellowship together, Father. We talk together and you're my heavenly Father and I'm your son. And you care about me. God, do you care about me? And you said to me, whatever you say, I will do it. I love you so much that whatever you say, I will do it. All I ask of you is to abide in my word and let my word abide in you. And if you abide in my spirit and my spirit abides in you, ask what you will and I will do it. Somebody would say, but I don't believe it, but I do believe it. God said it. If God said it, it's got to be true. Whatever God said, I believe. Abide in me, and I abide in you. Ask what you will, I will do it. God, you take a notice to me. God, you said in your word that if I say anything, it doesn't matter what it is. If I say anything and I don't doubt in my heart, then you said that whatever that man says shall come to pass. It doesn't matter what it is, if that man says anything, if he don't doubt but believe in his heart that what he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. What a challenge. What a challenge to mankind. God says, I love you. I love you. I place before you a challenge. You just say anything that you want to. You decree a thing in your heart. Don't doubt, just believe. I'll bring it to pass. And here we sit, dwarfed in our experience with God. Here we stand before God. Jesus walked the earth. Many mighty miracles, many great, mighty things he could not do as he walked the earth among men. He couldn't do many things because they had dwarfed themselves in faith. God in the earth, God in mankind, God walking the earth. Behold the tabernacle of God among men. And the Bible said that Jesus, not just Jesus, but God in the tabernacle. God in the tabernacle. Peter says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, Jesus Christ being the tabernacle of the Spirit, God, the great eternal Spirit in his tabernacle, the tabernacle of God among men. John saw it in the Spirit as he got the revelation. There is God walked the earth. The Bible said that God marveled at their unbelief. Don't you know that God is literally marveling today? God is literally marveling today. Unbelief in the earth. While he is saying, ask what you will and I will do it. Say what you will and it will come to pass. Don't doubt. Don't doubt, but just say it. I'll do it. For my eyes are throughout the earth, going to and fro, looking for the upright in heart, that I might show myself strong in their behalf. I want to show myself strong in their behalf, looking for the upright in heart, always searching. Looking for the upright in heart, that I might show myself strong in their behalf. Ask what you will, say what you will, believe what you will. A challenge to mankind. And yet God marvels at our unbelief. Why should we think in an incredible thing, Paul said, that God should raise the dead, as he testified and witnessed of the great power of God. And they marveled and they said, but Paul, you're talking about bringing the dead back. He said, man, you're a great ruler, but why should you think it incredible that God raised the dead? God who made the heavens, God who made the earth, why do you think it's such a great thing for God to raise up a dead man? Why, he can do that without any problem, Paul said. But that's where the problem comes in. We dwarf God in our thinking. We dwarf God in our minds. When the angel came to the tent of Abraham, and there is Sarah was on the inside, and God himself, Jehovah, on the outside, talking with Abraham. And there he was talking. And all the time that he was giving a promise, Sarah was in there dwarfing God and his ability in her mind. All the time she was on the inside saying, I don't see how this thing can be. And the man said, Abraham, God's going to visit you. You've got a desire. I'm going to bring it to pass, Abraham. Sarah just a laughing and a going on in her spirit. You know, a lot of people, you try to tell them about God. I got a lot of Sarahs here. They mock. You try to tell them something about God. They laugh and mock in their spirit. Right. The angel of God said, Sarah, why did you do that? I didn't do that. not only mock, not only laugh, but lie to. Lie to get out of it when they're caught. Why did you do that, Sarah? But I didn't do that, she said. He said, I don't lie about it, sir. You knew you'd done it. He didn't use those words. But he said, thou didst laugh, Sarah. In other words, you're lying. Why did you do that? Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? They said, Moses, you talk about feeding us, and we're out here in the wilderness somewhere. Where are you going to get all that bread? How are you going to feed us? Them disciples said to Jesus, said, my land, you say, feed this multitude, 5,000 people. We've got a few penny worth of bread. How are we going to do that? Jesus said, have you hardened your heart? Can't you believe? Don't you have faith in God? Won't you give God a chance? Folks, can we believe? Can we trust God? Can we increase our faith in God, our efforts in God? Can we step out on a limb for God, give God a chance? I'd rather do like Peter. I'd rather try to walk on the water and drown trying than to stand back like the rest of them in the boat in doubt. At least he made an effort. He did get somewhere. He didn't walk all the way to the shore, but at least he did put both an effort and he proved faith. Maybe his faith wasn't strong enough to keep him afloat very long. Maybe his faith wasn't strong enough for him to walk as far on the water as Jesus did. But he did have some faith that worked a little bit. At least he put it to the test. That's the way I believe it. So then he said, Sarah, why did you laugh? Why did you laugh? They said, Moses, well, how are you going to feed the people out here in the wilderness? And the Bible said God was angry. They limited the Holy One. They limited the Holy One. Folks, we got a job to do. We've got a job to do. We can't limit God. No way. We've got to do the job. You say, but I think. I don't care what you think. We've got a job to do for God. It doesn't matter to me what you think. That's not important to me. The thing is, there's a job to be done, and we're going to do the job. We're going to do the job. You say, oh, but I don't think you will. I know that I will. Hallelujah. We got a job to do. We're going to do it. It's not a matter of waiting, a matter of looking, a matter of trying to figure it out. God said it. I believe it. It's got to work. And God said, whatever you say, you can have it. Whatever you believe in your heart, don't doubt. It shall come to pass. My brother, sister, it shall come to pass. And God said, Abraham, remember, I will return. I will return at the right time and the right season according to the time of life. And Sarah is going to bring you a son. Old brother Abraham, he didn't doubt. Sarah was in there saying, I don't believe it. Can't be done. Old Abraham was saying, glory to God, so be it. Don't see how it can fail. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That was the difference. If it had been left up to Sarah, they'd never got a son. But he said, at the time of life, I'll return. The days went by. Somebody said, well, bless God, it didn't happen. I'm seeing it didn't happen. Where's it at? Abraham said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But he said, it didn't happen. It's all right, it will. Abraham said, just don't worry about it. It'll happen at the time of life, the right season, when God gets ready. I believe it. And when it looked like it was hopeless and looked like it was a lamp and stop, all of a sudden God came on the scene and began to shake the tree. Yeah. Hallelujah. And all of them that laughed and all of them that mocked had to take notice and stand up and say, God did it. God kept his word. Noah preached the gospel. Noah said, I believe it. They said, why? Never rain. What are you talking about? You must be some kind of fanatic talking about things like this. Noah said, that's all right. God said it. I believe it. While they could have said, well, you don't even know what rain is. What are you talking about? Noah might have said, well, I don't know what it is. It ain't got nothing to do with it. God said it's going to rain. It's going to rain. That's the way I see it. The days went by. It didn't rain. The weeks went by. Didn't rain. They laughed. They mocked. They made a joke out of it. Days and the months passed and the years passed. A lot of them made a joke out of it. But oh, my brother, there came the day. God said, Noah, Noah! You remember what I told you? Noah said, I remember. Noah! God is not slight concerning his promises. I made you a promise, Noah. Glory to God, it's time, Noah. Get them people in that boat. Shut the door. It's going to rain. The Bible said that all of a sudden things begin to happen. Don't you know them critics, as they looked out across there and they saw them big, long, lanky elephants and giraffes and bears and everything else come down across the hill, down that boat. Don't you know they got the weak tremors? Don't you know that tore them people all to pieces? You know, I just imagine as them elephants begin to come, the bears begin to come, and the eagles begin to come, the alligators begin to come, and everything that God was going to put in the boat, whatever it was. Oh, my brothers, them things begin to come. Don't you know that tore them people all to pieces? Somebody must say, my God, my God. That man was crazy. Now I'm crazy. Do you see that coming over the hill? We're all crazy. But they went in. They went in. And old brother Noah had the last laugh. Old brother Noah shut the door. And the Bible said it rained. And it rained. And it rained. And it rained and rained. Until the highest hills and the highest mountains under heaven, you couldn't see them anymore, because every high hill under the heaven was covered. I believe that meant the hills of Georgia as well as it did the hills over there where he was at. Every high hill under heaven, I believe Mount Everest was covered up. They were covered, but that big boat was riding higher than the jets of today. I believe God took that thing up as high or higher than some of the jets that fly around today. That's right, he took it way up yonder. And everything was washed out because God said it was going to rain. Oh, my brother, my sister, God tells me that the end of the world is here. He tells me that there was a change. He tells me that death has been conquered. And that we're moving into some great, mighty experience with God. Something that only the sons and daughters of God will experience. And the world will be left out of it. And that great hour is here of his judgment. Yes, amen. And I believe it. He tells me that something is happening now, such as has never happened in the history of all mankind. And I believe it. You say, oh, Brother Pike, who are you? I'm a man just like Noah was. But Noah believed God. I believe God. Abraham believed God. I believe God. I believe God. God said it. I believe it. And the Lord said, whatever you say, I will stand by it. Whatever you do, wherever you put your feet, I will give it to you. God challenges us today. There is a great challenge before us. A great thing. But people misjudge things. They judge things with their own thinking. They judge things with their own minds. And they misjudge. But oh, my dear brother, God don't misjudge. God don't misjudge. When that man came over there, David feigned himself as being mad, but he was speaking of it today. The spittle run down his face. Walked into the enemy's camp. He knew that they had put a sword through him. But he feigned himself to be a madman. Made them think he was crazy. They judged it. They took him before the ruler and the king. They said, "Oh, this is a madman. You talk about this great David. Why, this harmless creature, he can't hurt nobody. Run him out of here." But oh, he misjudged the situation. That same great, mighty David returned with the forces and the sword in his hand, and he swept through that country. Oh, how he misjudged the situation. Mephibosheth. There, the great man of wisdom, David's counselor, there giving counsel. The Bible said it was like the counsel of God, but he misjudged the situation. When the enemy came in, he thought they'd overthrow David. He took that Judas way, took that weasel way, wanted to get on the winning side. Not going to be numbered with them Bethlehemites. Go through any trouble. That early church, when they were reproached for the name of the Lord, "I'm not going to be reproached for anything. I'm going to go with the dignitaries. I ain't going to hurt my career." And there it was. They misjudged it. So he joined up with the enemy. And the Bible said God turned his wisdom into foolishness. And when God turned it into foolishness, everything he said went wrong. Wasn't long he let that same Judas spirit that got a hold of him do the same thing to Judas. To him it done to Judas. And he went out and he killed himself. He committed suicide. My brother, don't misjudge the situation. God said it. I believe it. Whatever God says, it's got to be that way. If the Lord says he's got a reason for it, he's got a purpose. And I believe what God said about it. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. Jesus, the tabernacle of the Almighty God, walked among men. John said, "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband." And the Lord said to the people, "Oh, he that cometh in and out these gates, blessed is he, for he shall have right to the tree of life." If you can come in and out these gates, you can eat of this tree, he said. Those that were cut off from the tree of the seed of Adam, there at the garden when it was taken away from them. Now then, you just come in and out this city, and I've got the tree of life here. And they that come in and out the city, blessed are they, for they shall have right to the tree of life. Blessed and holy is he that comes in and out the city through these doors and through these gates, for he shall have right to the tree of life. My brother, the Bible said in that city had no need of the sun. It had no need of the moon, for the light of that city was the glory of the Lamb. It was the glory of God. And the light of that city was the glory of God, which was most precious. We've got the light of God. God has said it. I believe it. And out of the midst of the throne with the river of life flowing down through the streets. I believe that we have right to that eternal life. And some of you that are spiritual could understand if I said more. Some of you could not understand, and even though I said it and explained it, you still wouldn't understand. Because they that are carnal, the carnal mind receiveth not the things of God. The carnal man can't receive them, neither can he know them. Why can't he receive them? Why can't he know them? Because he's carnal. And to be carnally minded is death. It's enmity to God. He's carnal. He can't know them. Why can't he know them? Because he knows the natural things of this world. Why can't he know them? Because the Bible said they are spiritually discerned. They don't come by any means except a spiritual discerning. You spiritually get into them. You spiritually unravel them. You spiritually understand them. You spiritually discern them. The natural man can't get a hold of them because they are spiritually discerned. Oh, my brother, these things we spoke of this morning, the allegoric types. Sarah, the mother of us all, New Jerusalem. Oh, how did Sarah ever get to be New Jerusalem? the mother of us all, which things are an allegory. You know, the tabernacle of God is among men, the angel said to John. John declared it. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and God shall dwell with his people, not somebody else, but God. And they shall all be taught of God, for God himself, not another, but God himself, the Bible says, shall dwell among his people, and he shall wipe the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more crying, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and they shall love him and worship him, and he shall lead them to fountains of living water. But my brother, they that reject God shall follow the beast, and it shall not be a name as it is with Christ, but it shall be a name also in their forehead. It shall be a mark in their forehead. It shall be a number in their forehead. Well, they too will follow somebody, but it won't be Jesus. The Bible said, in these follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Whithersoever he goeth. I like that. Talking about him every morning. Talking about him through the noonday. Talking about him in the nighttime. Talking about Jesus. Glory to God. I believe Noah had Jesus on his mind. Or that is, God on his mind in the morning. I believe he had God on his mind at the noonday. I believe he had God on his mind at night. I believe Noah had God on his mind all the time. Don't you? How do you believe that? I believe Abraham had God on his mind. Noah had God on his mind. I believe the prophets had God on their mind. What we need is God on our mind. Think about God. The Bible said, meditate in his laws day and night. Day and night. He that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. For all of the paths of God are peace. We need to think more about God and less about our food. More about God and less about our business. More about God and less about our relatives and our desires and our plans. Think more about God. More about God. More about God. That should be about our Father's business. You love Jesus? Praise God. Let's stand together. I could go on and go on and go on. God is so good. You ever stop just to think about Jesus? You know, just stop. Say, Lord, help me to think about Jesus. Help me to think about Jesus. Precious Jesus. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth, of joy, and of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet. I love to talk about Jesus. I love to think about Jesus. And just think, because I talk about Jesus, because I think about Jesus, because I love Jesus, I'm going to have right to that tree of life. I've got right to that tree of life. I can go in and out the gates of the city. Oh, that beautiful city. We sang that song, oh, that city called Mount Zion. Though a pilgrim, yet I love it still. I'll not leave it down through the ages. Oh, that beautiful city on the hill. How beautiful, the beautiful city of Mount Zion. I remember when I was a boy, I used to live way out in the country. We had an old plantation. And I was just a boy. They turned the radio on. The radio wasn't much in those days. But it turned it on. And at a special time over in the night season, there was a little old group that come on and sang. And to me, it was just, you know, they were everything back then. Anybody could sing over the radio, well, I tell you what, he was the next thing to God, you know. But I remember they had somebody, they called him Coon Hunter. That was his name or what they called him. But he would sing that song. He would come on and he would sing that song. Oh, that city called Mount Zion. And I just thought that was the most beautiful thing, just a boy, you know. I just couldn't hardly wait to hear Coon Hunter sing that song. But you know what? Got in my heart when I was a boy. And right there at that place, never realized it. But God got into my heart. And right there where we had our big fields of corn, potatoes, many acres where we plowed and worked through the hot sun the day. It was right there that I remember as a little boy, I had this dream or night vision. And I looked and I remember how I saw the angels, oh, just many, many angels coming down out of heaven. And they were coming in like a great covey of birds. And I thought I looked at our cornfields was ready to harvest. My, they were so beautiful. And I thought these angels just covered that field up down into where that harvest was. And of course then I didn't know nothing about it. You know, I didn't know what it was all about. Because come harvest time, we'd take our old two-horse wagon, go down through the field, and we'd pull the corn, shuck it, and throw it and load it on the wagon. Pull it off, and we'd have to take it up the trail, many miles up the trail, you know, to town or whatever. But anyway, to me, that was a thrill. I'd go up the trail with the mules or the horses and my dog running alongside of it. That was a thrill to me. But I never knew what the Lord was telling me. Them angels coming down in the field like that. My, I thought about it so many times. Lord, that was the end of the world, a little boy. And you were showing me a vision of the end of the world, the angels coming together, the harvest. Folks, I really believe that we're there at that time. I really believe that the Lord showed me as a little boy the end of the world. And I believe those angels are ready to come in because I believe that the corn of God, as we say the harvest, is ready. I believe it. And the Bible said in the end of the world, the parable is that I'll send my angels and reap the fields. I believe it. Somebody said, well, I don't see any angels around. Oh, you just don't have spiritual eyes. Elijah said, open his eyes. Open his eyes. And the mountains was full of fire chariots. Angels are ministering spirits to them that are heirs of salvation and ministering spirits for them that are heirs of salvation. And the Bible said, be careful how you entertain strangers. For some have entertained angels unaware. There were angels that came over to Abraham's place. Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. John was a man sent from God. Hallelujah. I believe them angels that he said he'd sent in the last days. I believe some of them angels are around reaping down the fields. I believe they're reaping down the fields. If you see them, look close enough, you'll see them. Hallelujah. Look close enough, I believe you'll see them. But I believe them angels are around. Revelation said, and an angel came down into glory, lighting the earth, all of the earth. And two angels flew through the heavens, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth. And the angels, I will send them in the last days, and they shall reap down the fields. I believe it's the latter times, and I believe some things is happening. God said, Abraham, I just had to come down here to Sodom and Gomorrah to see for myself. I heard this was a bad situation. Why? He said, they've been coming up to heaven up there telling me about this thing. So I said, well, I just have to go down there and look for myself. And down he came and stopped by Abraham's tent. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if God come and stopped by your tent? I say, never do that. Well, I've had him to come by my tent and stop. Me and him's had some conversation. Me and him's friends. Many of him's friends, he comes by my tent every once in a while and he stops and talks with me. You know, they got a little song. They sang, when this frail tent is folded. Oh, hallelujah. I feel God, don't you? I feel God. Hallelujah, I feel God. Hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together. We haven't seen it in a long time. The little chorus, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Can we sing it? Pass me not, O gentle
Savior, hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Can you sing with me now? Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Let's sing one more time. Oh, my Savior, can you lift your hands up? Oh, my Savior, won't you hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Let's sing it one more time. Oh, my Savior, oh, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you love Jesus? Can you lift your hands up and love Jesus? Oh, Savior. Oh, Ramorobo Shira Ramandoriando Rabosaya, Savior. Hallelujah. Won't you hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Hallelujah. You know, I feel God tonight. Before I dismiss, I want you to come around the altar. So many, many times I ask you to come around the altar for just a minute. Just for a minute while they're playing on the organ. Sometimes the song says, I feel discouraged. Sometimes I feel cast down. I don't know what to do. So far as my natural strength and my natural ability. But there's one thing that I do know, and that is the same place that I went to when I had problems before, the same one that I called on when I had problems before, is still nearby. And when I called on him before, and I went to him before, he straightened everything out. And it worked before. And that makes me believe that if I'll go to him again, and I'll ask him again, that he'll do it for me again. Oh, hallelujah. So then I take courage, and I ask God to help me. I ask God to do something for me. Friend, ask God to do something for you tonight. Don't wait too late. Don't wait too late you are an individual tonight. It isn't a matter of Brother Pike or someone else. It's a matter of you. It's your soul and God. Your soul and God. It's not what I think or someone else thinks. It's that's between you and God. It's what God thinks. Is everything right between you and God? Have you made everything right between you and God? Is everything all right with you and God? It's between you and God. That's what matters. That's what matters. It's your soul that's going to be cut off into the darkness. You know, I never have liked the dark. Even when I was a boy, I never did like the dark. I always hated to see the light go out in my room. I never did like the dark. I still don't like the dark. I like the light. Oh, there's so much wild imagination in the dark. You start getting leery. You start thinking. You start fearing. You start wondering. You know, I've been out in the night by myself, way out in the woods, down on the creek somewhere. Nobody around but just me and God. And I'd be calling on the Lord. It'd be night, be dark. The clouds would have the moon hit and be so black as night. Black! You could hear the weird sounds in the night and in the woods. All kind of imaginations begin to run across your mind. I never did like the dark. You know, down in my heart, I'd look and see the light. I said, I don't want to look at that dark. I don't think about that dark. Oh, Jesus, you're the light. You're the light, Jesus. You're the light. Hallelujah. And I'd think on the light and I'd get a consolation. And you know, that's the way it is with me today. When the darkness begins to crowd in, and the clouds begin to hide him from view, I say, oh no. Oh no, I don't like the dark. And that old carnal mind begins to accuse. And the accusations begin to come. And I say, no. I don't want to hear that. And I think on the mind of Christ. And I say, Lord, I love the light. I'm a creature of the light. I remember the word of God said. The word of God said, that's what I believe. If I walk in the light as he is in the light, I'll have fellowship with God and he'll have fellowship with me. The blood of Jesus will cleanse me from all my sins. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. You believe it? Hallelujah. He purges and he cleanses me from all of my sins. Now I think how wonderful I walk in the light as he is in the light.